as we turn to our opening text in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Here we read one of the three accounts of what took place on what's often referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. To set the stage in this moment of time, it's very exciting for what was a very exclusive audience with only three of the 12 disciples following Jesus up to a high place, to an undisclosed mountaintop. And reading from our opening text in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, "And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment, his clothing was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem." This is before the cross. "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him." Can you imagine you're on a camping trip with Jesus on top of a mountain, and you're deep in sleep, and all of a sudden you realize there's something going on, and Jesus is glowing. The glory of God is being shown through the flesh of God. And he's not alone. There's these two other individuals that didn't hike up the mountain with you. "And it came to pass," in verse 33, "as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here." I love this mountaintop experience. "Let us make three tabernacles. Let us make three tents. Three little dwelling places, one for thee, Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not realizing at the time that the conversation was all about what was to come, the cross. Here, Peter, James, and John literally had a mountaintop experience with God. Perhaps this was, in fact, the first man of adventure. Like Brother Thompson leads an invitation to hike up a trail and camp at an elevation with an intent to have a communion, a time of fellowship with the Lord, to receive something supernatural, something extraordinary, something transformative. And while God certainly does reveal himself to us in special ways at special times, this morning our focus is not on the mountaintop experiences, although those do exist and we should in fact seek them. We should in fact desire something special, something extraordinary, like we do perhaps even in every service or every camp meeting. There's an anticipation of what God is going to do and what he wants to do. Something that's set aside, something that's different from those things that are common. But this morning I bring your attention to the mountaintop only as a backdrop for what's on the opposite end of special and unique. The things that are common. The things that are regular. Seemingly ordinary. My only request this morning is that you temper your excitement for the things that are common, the things that are mundane, the things that are seemingly ordinary. Would you pray with me this morning? Would you ask God to give us an understanding for his word to speak to us? Jesus, we're here for you, God, and you've already demonstrated that. You've already made yourself known, God. You've already blessed us with your holy presence, with your glory that's in this place, God. Lord, it's my request that you would let your word go forth, that it would accomplish your will, God, that we would see you in everything. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. These mountaintop experiences that we have with God, they don't actually necessarily need to be on a physical mountaintop. Although we do see that pattern in the scriptures to a degree. There was Moses who met with God for 40 days and 40 nights on top of a mountain, Mount Sinai. There's Abraham who met Jehovah Jireh, God my provider, on a mountaintop. Elijah, he heard a small still voice, the voice of God in Mount Horeb. The Bible says that God is a spirit, that he fills the whole heaven and the whole earth. So there is nowhere that you can go that he is not already there. And certainly he's the God of more than just mountaintops. Right? He fills every void. There's no place that he isn't. He's the God over everything, not just some things. And so we don't actually need to go to a physical mountaintop in order to encounter God, but he reveals himself in certain times and places in ways that are different than other times and places. Amen? How many of us have ever had what we might consider a mountaintop experience? A memory of an interaction we had with God that has been etched in our memories that we can go back to over and over and over again. I can't remember every service I've ever been, but there are some services I can never forget. And we didn't have to literally climb up a mountain to experience those things, to experience the power and the presence of God. We experience that power and presence right here all the time on the corner of Highway K and Airline Road. God pours out his Spirit on us and through us and in some way, shape, or form in every service. But not every service is exactly the same, is it? There's some services when the Spirit of God moves in such a way, we simply throw out our own agenda, what was the plan or the intent, and we follow the leading of God's Spirit. And in those moments of time, during those what can be hour-plus-long altar call, we likely count those as mountaintop experiences in of themselves. Do you remember how you felt when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, when you spoke in a language that you had never learned? I remember how I felt that night, and that Sunday night that I was born again certainly was a mountaintop experience in of itself. I remember part of me that night didn't really have any interest in going home. I was ready to sell whatever I had, which wasn't much at that time, and so it would have been easy to set up camp right here. I mean, why leave this place? Why leave this sanctuary? I remember over those first few weeks thinking to myself, why don't we have church every night? It's so good because now me as a born-again saint, it was so new and exciting. And in that moment of time, I was much like Peter in verse 33 when he said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. We should just stay here. We should just be here perpetually. We should just make some tents and some places for you and us to dwell. And those other people that showed up that didn't hike with us, Moses and Elijah, we'll make a place for them too because we're in the presence of the glory of God, and why would we want to leave? In those mountaintop experiences, it's normal to think like Peter, to in our minds desire to want to stay in the place where we experience the power and the presence of God, to never want to leave that moment because it feels so good. Why don't we just stay here? Why do we need to go home? Jesus, if you let us stay, we'll set up camp. And every time someone's filled with the Spirit of God or baptized in the name of Jesus, when God reveals himself to any one of us in such a personal way, those first encounters often are like mountaintop experiences by design. God wants to bring us to a place we've never been before. And when we're born again, suddenly we're awakened to the power and the presence of God like we never were before. But then as we mature, as we learn to crawl and then walk and then to do and to be all that God has asked us to do and to be in his word, as we mature, there comes a time when God actually pulls off the training wheels. Time when God asks us to start to take steps out in faith to obey, not just because of what we're feeling, not just because we're on the mountaintop with God's presence, but because now we know what his word says is right and just and what obedience looks like. There's that honeymoon period sometimes we refer to as the time after we're born again when all of a sudden we have this revelation and this understanding and this zeal that we never had before because God's Spirit is now resident in us. And we just can't imagine anything less. And at some point, as we start to walk in this walk, God says, okay, I brought you to this place. I brought you to a mountaintop. I allowed you to experience things, and I even compelled you through my Spirit to become something you weren't. But now I'm going to take the training wheels off, and I'm going to ask you to start to take some steps. I'm not going to pull you. I'm not going to prod you. I'm going to just watch and wait. It's a maturing process. And I wish I could say everyone passes that test of taking the training wheels off, but they do not. Some suddenly not compelled by the power and the presence of God, some suddenly not on the mountaintop, wonder, how will I do this without that mountaintop-like experience? But we learn that through our obedience, God's Spirit is continually moving in our lives, and that sometimes the power of God is more obvious than in other times. Some trips to this altar are incredibly and compelling and life-altering, while other times God's transforming power is happening somewhere below the surface. It's always happening, but sometimes it's more obvious that it's happening. Brothers and sisters, don't make the mistake about what you're not feeling, as if God has withdrawn his hand from you. He has not, because his word says that he will never leave us or forsake us. And his promises are yea and amen, or yes and yes. The potter never takes his hands off the clay. He's always shaping the earthen vessels that walk in obedience. We sing that song, Waymaker, and I'm reminded every time we sing it, and I'm encouraged, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop. God never stops. It's true. He has never stopped. Even before we walked into truth, he was already working. And whether we fully recognize the process or not does not negate what God is doing, how God's Spirit always works. It always will reproduce himself in us as we walk in the Spirit. As we conform to his word, he will continually mold and shape us into his image. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. It always works. I haven't confessed this before, but let me tell you now, I love the mountaintop experiences. I love them both literally and spiritually speaking. I desire for those blowouts, those times in God when God just moves in and takes over. We all love the mountaintop experiences with God, and we should. We pray for them, we seek them, and sometimes we even try to recreate them. You don't have to raise your hands, but after one of those blowout services, have you ever tried to take inventory of what all led up until that time when the power of God exploded, and what were the conditions that were set? Starting to recount the things that took place like a detective collecting clues. You know, so let's see, that Sunday I came early for prayer at 5:33, and we sang that song, Build Your Church. Perhaps God likes that song more than other songs, and of course, it's not just about me. There were at least 25 other people waiting at the altar, so next time we should make sure at least 25 people are up at the altar. And, you know, Pastor Portman was wearing his black suit and gold tie, and so then God poured out his Spirit on all flesh like he promised he would. Oh, I didn't wear my black suit and gold tie today. I'm so sorry. I know at times I've tried to unlock the secrets to see the power of God poured out. To try to examine the evidence of what brought down the fire from heaven different this time than last time. As if we could manufacture a move of the Holy Ghost. As if we could command the glory of God to be presented to us, as if we have any right whatsoever. Of course, we don't manufacture or produce God's glory in this place. That's not to say we don't play a role. We absolutely play a role, just not the role sometimes we think we play. Friends, the role we play is through simple obedience in everyday life. You see, God is sovereign. His choice to demonstrate his power and presence or not is his to make, not ours to control. But when he moves like he often moves in this place, I know of people who are called by his name that are filled with his Spirit that know how to respond, know how to walk through the door that God presents when his Spirit starts to move and we find ourselves suddenly on a mountaintop somewhat unexpectedly. We just don't take in the scenery and enjoy the show. No, we respond to God's Spirit as it's poured out, as it moves in our presence. Our praise shifts.